Amen. Anybody in here that in your Christian journey, it's nothing but smooth sailing? Could I see your hand? Nothing but smooth sailing. Could I see your hand? Praise God, we got rid of all the liars. Make it through the fire. Romans chapter 7. One of the things that I've noticed that greatly troubles me in the body of Christ is there is not a warrior mentality. Let me be very clear with that. I've noticed that in the body of Christ, there is not a real warrior's mentality. That should be concerning to each and every one of us as Christians. Because you see, the Lord has called us to fight the fight of faith. He's told us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. He's told us that our warfare is not with flesh and blood. It's with spiritual entities and powers that can't be fought with flesh and blood tactics. They're only fought with the spiritual weaponry that God equips us with. Unfortunately, somewhere between our Christian boot camp and in our AIT and in our walk with the Lord and our journey across this battlefield, we become sissified. Not only do we forget how to fight, but we don't even want to fight. And I'm just going to serve notice tonight. You better slap yourself to your spiritual senses and realize you're not going to get out of here without a fight. So you better learn how to fight, and you better fight to win. Because I assure you, your opponent has a mission of destroying your life, your relationship, your finances, your health. Serving God is not for sissies. You see, unlike the gangbang lifestyle, where everything seems to, there's a bond, and there is. I worked the hood for 25 of my 28 years in public service, and there is a bond among those gangsters. You see, they find something in that bond. They find something in that commitment to one another that they've not found at home or in the church or in other friends. So therefore, they find it in the gang lifestyle. And it shouldn't be like that. We as Christians, we should learn how to bond together. Yeah, we've got to fight an individual fight, but we've got to come together and be encouragers of one another, and we've got to hold one another's hands up, and we've got to fight with one another and spur one another on unto good works and love. But I have found in talking to people over the years that there seems to become this mentality in our walk and journey with the Lord that preachers just, nobody else knows what I battle. Nobody else understands what I struggle with. Nobody else is having to fight the same fight that I fight. Let me read you a passage of Scripture and see if it might not relate to where you're at. I know it does to where I am. Paul wrote this, regarded by many Bible scholars as one of the greatest Christians to ever live other than Jesus Christ. He wrote approximately two-thirds of the New Testament. But stay with me. I'm not going to be long. My voice isn't going to last. Romans chapter 7, verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Have any of you ever discovered that? Verse 22. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am. Many of you really know what wretched means, that wretched man. I looked it up and it means very unhappy, miserable, distressing, contemptible, poor in quality. This is how Paul is describing himself. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is at enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. I want to talk to you for just a few moments tonight about the warfare going on in your members, whether it be your mind or your actions or whatever. You know, the first of all, Scripture says this, to what you yield yourselves to, your members to that you become enslaved. Now, most of us, I believe in here, that would be honest, would be willing to say that, hey, I'm like Paul, and the very things that I want to do, I find myself not doing. And the things that I don't want to do are the very things that I find myself doing. Oh, wretched man. Oh, miserable, unhappy, despicable guy that I am. My spirit is willing, but my flesh is weak. Don't raise your hand, but is there anybody here like me in that? How many times have I said over the years, I'm not going to do that again. Whew. Made a liar out of me. Flip side of that is, I'm going to do such and such. Made a liar out of me again. You see, that which I want to do, I do not. That I don't want to do is what I find myself doing. This is called warfare. Spiritual warfare. You see, there's a spirit side of us that's wanting to do the right things. There's the flesh side of us that started out saying that in the flesh dwells no good thing. There's the flesh and blood, humanity, flesh side of me that doesn't really have to be taught how to do wrong. Have you discovered you don't have to teach a 2-year-old how to be a little smart aleck? You don't have to teach a 3-year-old how to stick something in a light socket. They just gravitate to the things that they're not supposed to do. That's why most of the time it's no, don't, stop, no, don't, no, no! You see, we have to be taught and trained how to do right, because wrongs come so easy to the flesh. The sinful man and woman that we are, it comes easy. So I want to challenge you tonight to learn how to fight that fight. First of all, we've got to recognize simply this. I cannot win spiritual battles with fleshly means. I have to win spiritual battles with the Word of God. I have to bring captive every thought and see if it be of the Lord. And if it's not of the Lord, I have to discard it. Why do you think the Word tells us repetitively in many different ways to guard your mind? Bring captive your thoughts. Because it's what we entertain in our mind. Young people, don't miss what I'm saying here. It's what we entertain in our minds that gets into our hearts. And what gets into our hearts, we become. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Guard your mind. Think on these things that are pure and holy and just and of a good report. If there be any value in them, think on these things. Don't entertain the evil, the wrong, those types of things that'll take you down a wrong path and a wrong journey. And at the same time, deal with the flesh. In athletics, it's called discipline. The 3 D's. Desire, discipline, and dedication. We have to learn to discipline our bodies, our flesh, to submit to the Spirit. We have to learn to discipline. The Word of God puts it this way in one place. To beat our bodies into subjection. Make the body conform to what the Spirit is saying, the right thing to do, what the Word says to do. Make yourself do it repetitively, time and time and time and time again, till the body, the flesh, becomes crucified, and the natural thing then becomes what's the supernatural thing. It's the Spirit of God. What he would teach you and what he would say to you. You have to learn to develop a consistent intimacy with God daily. How many of you ever saw that marquee out in front of churches all across America over the years? 7 days without food makes 1 week. It's talking about the bread of life. Friends, I cannot put enough emphasis on this. I cannot put enough emphasis on this. You see, in the beginning was the Word. Amen. Verse 14, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, Jesus. But you want to know the personality? You want to know the wishes, the thoughts, the plans of God, this is it. You want to know how to walk a victorious life and how to overcome every circumstance and every situation? There's not one problem or situation that you can have that it's not addressed in the Word of God. You may have to study. You may have to Google. You may have to call Josh. You may have to do something, but it's in the Word. But devour this as often as you can. Stay full of the Holy Spirit. Not just a one-time experience or encounter with God. Stay full of His Spirit so that you stay full of His power. You see, if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us, or you specifically, it'll quicken and make your bodies alive. It'll energize us. It'll give us a power that's beyond our own. There'll be an anointing from God to come to cause you to say no to those things that you used to would succumb to every time. There'll be a presence. There'll be a wisdom of God come to give you the directions that you need. There'll be a light of the Holy Spirit that will illuminate the path that you're to walk. For the steps of a good man, the righteous man, they're ordered of God. So stay full of His Spirit. Recognize the fact that you're not alone. And that God wants you to win. But there's a scripture that says, there shall not an enemy stand before you against whom you fight. Don't miss those last words. Against whom you fight. Who fight? You fight. You've got to fight the fight, but He will empower you that enemy will not be able to stand in your face. He'll be defeated foe. Very simple. And fight the fight of faith. Knowing that when you're using the Word of God, invoking the Word of God, speaking the Word of God, standing on the Word of God, you're full of His Spirit. You're not asking in and of yourself or your flesh. You've heard God in the situation. You know what to speak, to say, to pray, what to believe for. Then stand unmovable. Don't waver. Don't shirt back. Now, there are some times we don't know how to pray. That's when we pray, Lord, Your will be done. That's when we trust the Lord to do the right thing. There are other times when we know specifically how we should pray. Devil want to come and try to destroy mine and Glenda's marriage? I know exactly how to pray. I'd tell him, you don't want it. No, I mean, I wouldn't. I'd let him know that you're not going to destroy my marriage. There are times you know how to pray. Pray in faith. Don't waver. Lord, Your Word says, and stand on that Word. Amen. Then there are other times you've got to trust God. And when you fail, this don't sound very preacherly, but it's truth. You're going to fail. Get up. Get back in the fight. Get back in the race. Don't you hang your head in shame. You run to the foot of the cross and you apologize to the Lord and ask forgiveness and you get back in the fight. Look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. As Bobby Boucher would say, you can do it. And with God's help, you can. Would you bow your heads, and I'm going to close.